Christ can be built into our life. And that's his design and desire for our life. Now, for this series, Whoville Christmas, we've been using this classic book, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, and by Dr. Seuss. And, you know, when you think about that, you know, Jesus told a lot of stories. They were called parables. Some of them could have been children's books. I could see a children's book for the agricultural farmers of their day called The Sower. And Jesus referencing about a sower went out to sow. And then Jesus said, let me give you spiritual application. And there are a lot of things that we could glean from a book like this about how we need to move away from consumerism and thinking that everything is about what we get to really what is at the heart of Christmas. Most of us can identify with the Grinch because we think we know somebody else who is that person. We very seldom look in the mirror and see ourselves at the Grinch. But, you know, I think of Max, the dog, who lived on a daily barrage of the negativity of the Grinch. But, you know, he never let that negativity get to him. He always had this optimism that is about him. And we know in this book that it starts out that every Who down in Whoville liked Christmas a lot, but the Grinch who lived just north of Whoville did not. Now, in the book, we're not told why that happened. We don't know what pain or what took place of exactly why people are kind of left to their own imaginations. But we do know this. He wasn't content in just not liking Christmas himself or hating it himself. He wanted to make sure that nobody else enjoyed it either. So he concocted this scheme to steal Christmas and all that it meant to the people of Whoville. And he went and he took their gifts and their toys and their decorations and their feast and everything else and took it up to the Mount of Crumpet. And then he just waited, bending his ear to see the moans and the cries coming since he had stolen Christmas. But what he didn't hear was the moans and the groaning. What he heard was singing and joy and happiness. And it puzzled him, and he puzzled until his puzzler was sore, we're told. And then we find these words. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. Maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas perhaps means a little bit more. And what happened then? Well, in Whoville, they say that the Grinch's small heart grew 3 sizes that day. And what I particularly love about the story is that it starts out with his heart being 2 sizes too small. And at the end of it, it grows not to what the capacity where he was, where it should have been, but his heart enlarges even more. In fact, the last page in the book is this Grinch who hated roast beast has his utensils, and now the Grinch himself carved the roast beast and was sharing it with other people. So a lot we can glean from that story. But I want to take you to another doctor who wrote for us. His name was Dr. Luke. And Dr. Seuss wrote a fictional story about these people, this land of Whoville. Dr. Luke was a medical doctor. He was someone who paid attention to details. And before we get into some of the verses that he wrote, this is what it says. This is how he opens his gospel, the Gospel of Luke. Many people have written accounts about the events that took place among us. They used as their source material the reports circulating around us from the early disciples and other eyewitnesses of what God has done in fulfillment of his promises. Having carefully investigated all of these accounts from the beginning, I have decided to write a careful summary for you to reassure you of the truth that all of you were taught. So Dr. Luke writes about a real world, a real time, a real birth, a real life, that of Jesus Christ. And he does it with his medical expertise, paying attention to detail. Some of you started in December the 1st reading one chapter of the book of Luke leading up to Christmas Eve, which will put you on December 24th since there's 24 chapters. As you read it, pay attention to who is the writer. I just find it interesting things like this. This medical doctor mentions or references the virgin birth 3 times. He said, this really happened. I carefully investigated it. From a medical perspective, there's no way it could happen, but I'm telling you, it did. That's what faith did for him. And as he writes his book, he tells us what Christmas is about. And this whole message kind of took a different turn than what I thought at the end of November when I compiled this series. Because I'm going to talk to you about peace today. Because you cannot become who God called you to be without the peace. And the Christmas story is all about peace. Luke, as he writes to us, writes about Zechariah's prophecy, about John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus. Here's what he says. It's in your sermon notes. Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, because he visited us and redeemed his people. He has sent us a mighty Savior from the royal line of his servant David, just as he promised to his holy prophets long ago. Again, detail, fulfillment of Scripture, of prophecy. Verse 78, because of God's tender mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break on us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death and to guide us to the path of what? Peace. So this Messiah is going to guide us to peace, and there is a pathway to peace. Luke 2. The angels came to the shepherds, and after they announced the good news of great joy, which will be so all people, it said, suddenly the angel joined in a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. And then later on, 8 days after Jesus' birth, as Mary and Joseph go to present Jesus in the temple, there was a man who was a righteous man, well advanced in years, named Simeon. He was there worshiping the Lord. He was looking for the consolation of Israel. And it says, Simeon was there, and he took the child in his arms, and he praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace, as you have promised. Christmas came to bring us peace. Christ came to give us peace. Jesus' ministry was a ministry of peace. He proclaimed peace to the captives. He proclaimed freedom to them. As he started his first message, was talking about the blessing of God is upon certain people who have these characteristics. And part of that is he said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will inherit the kingdom of heaven. And before Jesus went from this world, here's what he said in John 14:27. I'm leaving you with a gift. Peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give you is a gift that the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. John 14:27. He mentions it again in John 16, this peace that he's leaving us with. And he says, this world cannot give it to you. That's the first thing we need to understand. This doesn't come from the world. And that's good news, because the world can't take it away either. Nothing that you're facing can take away this peace that God offers to his people. But when you look at our world, it's truly a rarity to find someone who is at peace. I mean, we find people that are active. We find people that are busy. Some people that are successful. Some people that are trying to be successful. People are tired. They're stressed out. They're ambitious. People have great dreams. But to find someone at peace is a rarity. And yet it's the reason we celebrate Christmas. Peace is being ushered in. In fact, 700 years approximately before Jesus was born, the prophet Isaiah talked about the son that would be given and the child, the son would be born and the child that would be given. And he said, his name will be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of what? The Prince of Peace. What's interesting is when you read verse 1, it says, to those that are in gloom and despair. See, God didn't come to give peace to people that had it all together, that their life was rosy and this was just a little add-on. This was like an app that would make their life a little bit better. These were people that were in despair. And he goes, I want you to know that the kingdom that is going to be established, the one who sits on that throne is the Prince of Peace. He rules and he reigns in peace. Now, when you look at Scripture, peace is a major thing. Nearly 800 verses, around 790 verses about peace. And when you look at them all, you can basically get them in the three different areas. And I'm just going to, I don't have this part in your notes. You might want to write it down. There are three areas of peace. There's spiritual peace, and that spiritual peace is with God, and that will be eternal. You take that kind of peace out of this world with you. You do know when you die, it's not the end of you. It'll take you into eternity. But then the Scripture also talks about this peace that is an emotional peace that comes and quiets the soul, that lets you be at rest, and this is an internal peace. You don't get it by having the latest gadget or a new vehicle or by gifts. It's something internal. It's something within you. It's an internal peace. And then there is relational peace. You become a peacemaker. Who you are and who you are becoming, hopefully, you will see from the Scripture that when I enter a room, I bring peace with me. Because I have spiritual peace and I have internal emotional peace in my life. And we're gonna talk about those three areas just briefly here. Okay? The who you become is determined by the experience of God's peace in your life. You cannot be who God has called you to be without the peace we're gonna talk about today. So let's look at these three areas a different way. The spiritual, emotional, relational. The eternal, internal, and external. First is the spiritual peace. Jesus made possible peace with God. Peace with God. God has done it all. He sent Christ to make peace between himself and us. So the reason why God so loved the world, he sent his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life, is so that we could have peace with God. It was God's doing. It was God's action. Not only was he the one that initiated it, he is the one that completed it. We'll come back to that in just a minute. And he has given us the work of making peace between himself and others. I want you to catch that phrase. It's not the first time we'll see it. The work. Of making peace. It's going to take effort. You're going to have to apply faith to your efforts to bring peace to other people. Anytime I go my own way, when I take the place of God in my life, it's an act of rebellion and it puts me in conflict between God. And when I have conflict between God and I, guess what? It shows up in my relationships. God made you to be connected to Him. And when you are not connected to Him, you can count on it, you're going to have trouble in your relationships here on earth. Jesus said, the greatest command is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like unto it, to love your neighbor as yourself. It's great you love God. But if you're going to love your neighbor the way that we're called to, which is the second command, and Jesus said this, All the laws and the prophets said are summed up in these two commands. You're not only going to have to love others, but you're going to love them because you love yourself. Because of who God is. You got to know who you are in Christ in order to love others properly. Look what Romans 5:1 says. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith. Some of your versions say, having been justified by faith. Justified, that's a big word, but this really helps me. I'm a simple person. What does justified mean? It means just as if I had never sinned. When God made me right with Him, based upon what He did, I want you to notice this. We have peace with God. Why do we have peace with God? How do we have peace with God? Because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. This is God's act. You don't have to work for peace with God. You cannot earn peace with God. You have to receive it based upon what God has done for you. Romans 5:1, 2 Corinthians 5:18, God has done it all. Look at two of those things. A little bit later on, Romans 5:10, even when we were God's enemies. So it wasn't based on our goodness. It wasn't based because we deserve it. Even when we were God's enemies, he made peace with us. Here it is again, because his son died for us. Yet something even greater than our friendship is ours. Now that we are at peace with God, we will be saved by his son's life. So God, in sending Jesus, and the message of Christmas is that this God that came to us is sent him to, so that we could have peace with God and our sins be forgiven. You will call him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. You see this throughout the Christmas story. Just one of the areas that you see it in is not only the message that they got, you'll name call him Jesus because he'll save his people from their sins, but when the wise men came from afar and they brought gifts to him and they said, where is he that was born King of the Jews? And when they found him, they rejoiced and they gave him three gifts. What were those three gifts? Good. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Okay? Gold. These were all gifts fit for a king. They were very wealthy. They were rare qualities. Gold you give to a king. He has a kingship. Frankincense was an incense that they would burn to deity. So the wise men were recognizing that this is deity. This is the Son of God. And myrrh, interesting enough, was an incense that was used for embalming fluid. So even in his birth, it was recognized that Jesus was born to die. He was going to pay the penalty for our sins. Jesus made it possible for us to have peace with God. Now let me give not a disclaimer. Let me just tell you what is true about the rest of this message. What else I share, there will be some good stuff if you don't have a relationship with God that will make your relationships a little bit better. But listen, it really doesn't work unless you have peace with God. This is where it starts. You've heard me say many times before, you don't get to heaven because you love Jesus. You get to heaven because Jesus loved you and laid his life down for your sins. And the Bible says that you do not have a relationship with God unless you've confessed your sin and believe in your heart that God put your sin upon Jesus' body on the cross. And when he paid the penalty of God's judgment against your sin, God took that body. He saw that it was buried and it was put in the grave. Your sins went with Jesus' body there. And he rose on the third day to walk in newness of life. And so now you have the freedom to walk in newness of life. And you do not have to sin in thought, word, and deed every day. Sin no longer holds you captive in your life. But it's only possible when you have peace with God. And the only way is to say, God, I can't do this on my own. I receive it by faith. You did it all. I'm just receiving you into my life, and I believe this is the life that you've called me to live. That's where it starts. And anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, here's what God says, they will be saved. It's good news. No wonder the angels showed up and shouted, peace on earth, with men with whom he is well pleased. But Jesus said, now this is part of God making peace with us through Jesus Christ. He said, there's something else more I want you to experience, because in order for you to become who I've called you to be, you've got to have this. Jesus made it possible for the peace of God to be in our life. This is this internal thing. This is in our quiet hours. This is when we can say, no matter, and I don't say this word very often, and so, but listen, there's times when we feel like all hell is breaking loose around us, but we can say with a steady confidence, it is well with my soul. Listen, I don't know about you, but I'm facing some things right now that I wish I wasn't facing. And God knows I don't like them. It's okay. He's big enough to handle that. But I also know that things are well within me. I'm not angry at God. I know he's got this. I know that there's a steady confidence that it is well. Because I was reminded several years ago by two people that say, I really do believe this stuff. I believe it's true. Jesus made possible the peace of God in our life. Look what it says in Isaiah 9, 1 and 2. That the time of darkness and despair will not go on forever. That's good news, isn't it? The land of Zebulun and Naphtali will be humbled, but there will be a time in the future when in Galilee of the Gentiles, where Jesus did the majority of his ministry, which lies along the road that runs between the Jordan and the sea, will be filled with glory, the glory of God in the flesh. Read John 1, tells you about his glory. We beheld his glory, the glory of the only one sent from the Father. Verse 2, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in the land of deep darkness, a light will shine. For a child will be born to us, a son is given to us, the government will rest upon his shoulders, and he will be called. There's four descriptors here. It ends in the Prince of Peace. But listen, when you have anxiety, when you have worry, when you don't know where to turn or where to go, he's a wonderful counselor. When you don't know how in the world you're going to get out of this or whatever good can come, you realize he's a mighty God. And nothing is bigger than who he is, what he can do. And when you wonder who's in control of this entire situation that's happening, it seems like life is just spiraling. He is the everlasting Father. By the way, the Son is called the everlasting Father here, eternal Father. He is the Prince of Peace. The Jewish people in the Old Testament, when they would go and they would greet people, they would have a greeting. And what they would say is, Shalom, which means what? Peace. I bring peace. Listen, I don't know that we need to be saying shalom to each other, but here's what we recognize. When we go into a room, when you sit at your Christmas dinner, when you're across the table from someone, then the only reason you're spending time with them is they married into the family, you bring peace wherever you go. This is the peace of God in your life. And when I enter a room, I'm going to be a peacemaker. When I enter the room, Jesus goes with me. I'm not going to let other people decide my emotional well-being. I'm going to let Christ do. I am who he says I am. And so if I need, there's comfort for those that are broken. There's guidance for those that are confused. There's forgiveness for those that are ashamed. There's confidence for those that are worried. For every problem you have, there's an accompanying peace that God has for you in your life. You're having financial problems, there's financial peace. Right, Boyd Steffen? Dave Jr.? Okay? Be looking for the next financial peace class. Listen, you're going to have to work for peace. You're going to have what Dave Ramsey calls a gazelle-like intensity. But for those that will work it, peace is available. Problem is, we want peace, but we don't want to work for it too many times. Jesus says, you get peace with me, and you get the peace of God. God has a peace for every problem you have. Look what Colossians 3:14-17 says. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. Perfect harmony sounds like peace to me. There's no discord. When you get dressed in the morning, you put on love. You be at peace with God's love in your life. And notice this, let the peace that comes from Christ, notice this, rule in your hearts. Now, he's writing this to Christians, but the way it's written is you have a choice. You've got to let it rule in your heart. This is where your faith comes in. Peace with God is all God's doing. You just trust in faith. But the peace of God, you've got to partner with God in this. And this word, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, it's like being an umpire. What is this saying is, let the peace of Christ call the strikes and balls in your life. And don't argue with the ump. Don't throw dust on the ump. Say, take your peace and go home. Instead, let Christ rule in your heart. That peace rule in your heart. You know what? It's a whole lot better than letting anger rule in your heart. It's a whole lot better than unforgiveness ruling in your heart. It affects you the most, but it affects other people. See, the problem with sin is it does get learned behavior, and it passes down through families. The further we get away from God, the more at odds we're going to be with others. Sometimes I guess you got to chuckle, but you know, when I listen to people and I got a problem with this person, I got a problem with this person, I got a problem with them, and I don't like this and I don't like that. And at some point, someone's got to be honest and say, what's the common denominator? I learned a long time ago, in the middle of sin is I. Biggest problem I have is not other people. The biggest problem I have is David. You fill your own name in. Don't put my name in there, okay? All right? I woke up the other morning. I really wasn't thinking about it. I said, how do you not let other people's emotion? Because, because I've shared my journey with you. There was a time when sports used to just really bug me, and I decided I'm not going to turn over my emotional well-being to things I can't control. And once I had that thing about sports, then I said, you know, I'm not going to let other people's emotional clutter control my life. Now, sometimes it does. You know, you don't have it perfect, but you realize you have a set. That's where you get things where you're going to settle on the truth and let your emotions settle around that. That's where those phrases come out. And I said, how does a person not, because if I try not to let people's emotional clutter affect my life, and I try it and I try it and I try it, it just gets laborious and I can't do it. The best way to do that is to let Christ have control of your emotions. And when you surrender your own emotional well-being over to God, it's amazing what takes place. That you can enter other people's pain, you can enter their worry and their hardships and stuff, but it doesn't affect you like it once did. It doesn't turn your stomach into knots. The Bible says, and I love this verse too, in as much as it's possible with you, live at peace with all men. Some people you can't live at peace with. But listen, don't miss the first part of that. In as much as it's possible with you. You are a peacemaker. You've got to make peace. You've got to work at peace in your life. You're the one that's not going to give up working for peace in relationships, because you have a God who is the Prince of Peace that is working in and through you. 2 Corinthians 5:19 to 21. What we mean is that God was in Christ offering peace and forgiveness to people of this world. And he has given us the work of sharing. He has given us the what? The work of sharing his message about peace. We were sent to speak for Christ, and God is begging you to listen to our message. We speak for Christ and sincerely ask you to make peace with God. Christ never sinned, but God treated him as a sinner so that Christ would make us acceptable to God. Jesus' message was all about peace. Blessed are those who are poor and realize their need for God. The kingdom of God is theirs. Blessed are those that mourn. They're going to be comforted by God. Blessed are those who are humble. They're going to inherit the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are those who are pure. Blessed are those who work for peace. There it is again. Work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. Okay? The message doesn't end there. I'm going to give you four things, because here's what we knew. It's not enough just to know this. Okay, we have the peace of God, the peace with God, peace with others. Did we get the peace with that? Yeah, we got peace with others. Okay. Okay, go try it. Go give it the old college try. How do we experience this peace? And I think Christmas story tells us that. And so I'm going to share four things. They all end with the suffix T-I-O-N. Okay, shun, okay? So here's the first one. You need illumination. Illumination. You need to have your eyes opened to see the things that God sees, the way that God sees things. See, Jesus made this invitation to us. Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am able to be gentle, humble and gentle of heart. Jesus said, learn of me. Pay attention to me. I'm going to illuminate your life. I'm going to show you some things that you don't naturally get, some things you don't normally think about. I'm going to teach these to you. We need illumination, a greater knowledge and understanding about our circumstances. And when you see God and his illumination as far as what he's going to do, it begins to reveal to you things you hadn't seen before. It is a life-changing experience. You begin to see God for who he really is. You begin to see yourself for who you are, not what you've done. Your past doesn't define you. I love that song. It says, I am who you say I am. I am chosen. I am not forsaken. I am a child of God. Your father may have forsaken you, but God, your father, has never forsaken you, nor will he ever do so. He adopted you into his family. He says, you are mine. You may have felt rejection in your life, never wanted to, and here's what God says, I choose you. You can love, you can forgive, you can reach out. You can be a peacemaker because of what God has done for you. And when you realize that, who God is and who you are in him, it is an aha moment. I get it. And in the Christmas story, people had all sorts of aha moments. Joseph, it came during a dream. And he got up from that dream and he decided to obey what the angel told him a couple different times. Mary, there was an angel of the Lord that came to her. She said, may it be done to me according to your word. I will give up my body for Christ. And she did. The wise men, they had their aha moment in nature. They saw something in the stars. And that drove them to a point where eventually what they saw in nature connected with God's word. And they knelt before the Christ child and they worshiped him and gave him their treasures. The shepherds, it came while they were working. And God broke in, he rocked their world, and here's what they said, now let's go see this thing that has happened. And they went, after they saw it, they went back and they were rejoicing and they were telling everybody about it because it changed their life. Sir Simeon and Anna, they had been to the temple years and years and years and nothing like this had happened. But one day Jesus arrived 8 days after his birth and it was an aha moment and it changed their life. Simeon said, now I can go and I can die in peace. I've been looking for the consolation of Israel. Anna began to tell everyone in the temple courts, this is the child that was prophesied. It rocked their world. It changed their life. Here's what Paul said in Ephesians 1:18. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so you can understand the confident hope he has given to those who are called, his holy people who are at rich and glory, his rich and glorious inheritance. There are a few things I'm not at peace with in life. One of them is the clock. Okay, we're going to get through this. I'm going to go quick. Okay? All right? You know you begin to see things as God sees them. Listen, you begin to see things as God sees them when you stop blaming other people for your unhappiness. When you stop trying to affix blame to other people and take personal responsibility. Listen, what God says about you is more important than anyone ever says about you. Isaiah 48:18 says this, if only you had paid patience to my commands, you would have your peace, notice this, your peace would have been like a river. A river flows. When you face despair and discouragement and unsettledness in your life, you have a river of peace. When I was a kid growing up, we sang this song, I've got peace like a river, peace like a river. I got joy like a fountain. I got love like an ocean. You know, it's interesting when we talk about hardships, we think about the billows and the sea waves crashing into the shore. Look what Isaiah 48:18 says. This is what God's peace and well-being is like. It says, your well-being like the waves of the sea just crashing over you. Peace in your life. I'm going to share a personal event with you right now. Yesterday, I went to the hospital to see Marilyn Howard. When I went back to the room, I was just there a few minutes, and then Pastor Bob had arrived, and we were both there together, and I said, Marilyn, I have scripture that I want to share with you. She was in pain. They gave her some pain medication through the IV. And I knelt down by her bedside, and I read Psalm 27. I'm going to read it to you. The Lord is my light and my salvation, so why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger, so why should I tremble? Though a mighty army surround us, my heart will not be afraid. Even if I'm attacked, I will remain confident. The one thing I ask of the Lord, the thing I seek the most, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in his temple. And he will conceal me there when trouble comes. He will hide me in his sanctuary. He'll place me out of reach on a high rock. Then I will hold my head up high above my enemies who surround me. At his sanctuary, I will offer sacrifices with shouts of joy, singing and praising the Lord with music. Hear me as I pray, O Lord. Be merciful and answer me. My heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. And my heart responds, Lord, I am coming. Yet I am confident I will see the Lord's goodness while I'm here in the land of the living. Wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. And when I finished reading that, I was kneeling by her bedside. I had my phone and I was holding her hand and I looked up and her eyes were closed. And I waited 5 to 7 seconds and I looked at Pastor Bob and I said, I think the morphine has taken effect. To which she replied, no, I'm just absorbing all of those words. There is a peace that passes all understanding. You can't get it out of a bottle. You won't get it by coming to church. And you don't get it just at the time when you're in the hospital room and needing it. Listen, Marilyn has worked that peace into her life. We have seen it on a daily basis. And you can work that peace into your life as well. God doesn't say, I'll give peace to this person and I'm just going to make them wait a little bit. He doesn't do that way. Come. Come to me. He says, come to me, all you who are labor and are heavy burden. It's the heart of God. Come. I've got you this peace. Would you come now? Come now. Don't wait. Here's what God's word will do. It will confront your thinking. It will confront your thinking. Because listen, when I originally planned this message, I thought about, you know, in the song, The Grinch, it talks about the three words that describe him. And I had this question, what are three words that describe you? And for The Grinch, it was stink, stank, and stunk. Here's what I know. People can love Jesus. They can have peace with God. But they can have stinking thinking. So I want to ask you what your thoughts are like. What are three words that describe your thought? You can say the prayers. You can look at scriptures. You can engage in a Bible study. But do you have some stinking thinking? Because as a man thinks within himself, as a woman thinks within himself, so they really are. Who am I becoming? You pay attention to your thoughts. You bring them into captivity, into Christ. The scripture says in Philippians 4:6, don't fret or worry about anything. Can I be honest with you? I think that's one of the hardest commands in the Bible. Don't murder? I can handle that one. Don't steal? I don't want to spend time behind bars. Not going to be tempted in that area either. But don't fret or worry about anything. Look what it says here. Instead of worrying, pray. Use your worries, use your anxiety as kindling for the fires of peace in your life. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. There's two alternatives that you can get in life. You can pray or you can panic. You can worry or you can worship. You can trust God or you can trust yourself. Guys, I'm going to bring this to an end. You can go on. Did we get first service recording? You can go on and listen to the rest of it. We're good? You got the end of it? Okay. We'll work that out. We'll get it. If you want to do it, Lord, I want to, listen, I know this is a busy time of year, but listen, here's what I need you to understand. What's going to happen in life is you've got some good tools. You've got enough to begin to implement into your life right now. But you're going to go and you're going to get busy. And this is going to get in the past. This is going to be, listen, you got to work for it. That's what I want you to get. You got to work for it. Okay? Let's pray. Father God, I come before you today. And Lord, you have been here. and your Spirit has spoken into the souls. Here's what the scripture says. I will give you rest for your soul. That's what the world cannot give us. They can give us a vacation. They can offer us a getaway. They can give us installments we can't afford. But they can't give it rest for our soul. That's what you came to do. So, Father, speak into our hearts right now. Help us to have peace with you, to work in concert with you so we have the peace of God in our life. And Lord, that will show in our relationships with others. We give you praise this day in Jesus' name. Amen.